Hello, hello. Welcome to Pod Bless Texas. I'm Lillian Salerno here in the heart of North Texas with my co-host and friend, Kendall Scudder.
Hi, how are you?
It's been months since I've seen you.
I know. Lillian, who made the decision that Frisco was the heart of North Texas?
Well,
you,
at least
just now?
Well, at least we had a mayor in Frisco that he sort of gave a crap about the people during this whiteout. With the energy folks, and is actually calling people and stuff. So I'm just giving him a little love.
Oh, he's calling people.
Someone who cares, Mr. I don't know him. I mean, I know who he is. I actually do know him. But anyway.
This has been bonkers, Lil.
It has. I feel terrible. There's so many people suffering, and I feel helpless. I don't know. I didn't even make calls last night. I've called people that I know, but I mean, I've got 8 brothers and sisters, and six out of them have all lost power. I'm just saying our little microcosm of people, most of them living out in rural, and they lost power and water. So, and then I love it when people, you get all these notices that say, hey, boil your water. Like, hey, I don't have power. So how am I boiling this water? I
don't, use the burners you don't have access to boil the water you don't have. Yeah.
So that's been tough. And then I haven't done any driving. I'm very lucky that I don't have a bunch of screaming kids that I have to feed. I only have to feed my screaming belly when I'm fine. If I have olives and tuna fish for the next week, and I'm good. But I'm not drinking, and I'm really glad about that because it'd be easier.
Girl, I tried to drive today.
Oh yeah, tell me, because I haven't done any driving.
Well, like I really haven't surfaced much because I had my surgery. Mm-hmm. We talked about this in the last episode. I had to get a steel rod put in my shoulder. And so I had my surgery on Friday, and whenever I woke up, I just got, came straight here and haven't left since. But I had prescriptions I had to get at this pharmacy. And so today I was just like, I've got to go get my pain meds. I'm dying. And so I decided I was going to take a trip. So I got in my truck and couldn't get out of the gate at the complex because it was on a hill. So I had to reverse and go to a different gate. And then I hydroplane, or I don't, is it called hydroplaning if you're just sliding on ice? Mm-hmm. Whenever I came back, but the roads were mostly clear. It was just whenever I got on like my apartment complex, or like those little side roads that aren't main roads.
Mm-hmm. I know the driving looks so tragic out there. Oof, on the little roads, but people rough. Are doing it. And I just, how do you get people that are going to work? I mean, none of the FedEx and the FedEx hubs. I mean, I live in a big high rise, and no Amazon, no FedEx, no UPS has come a Saturday. So anyway, that's, I don't know. Certainly we weren't really prepared for this, which is why we have as our guest today, John Padolino, who's lives in Austin now. He's a Texan, but was in DC for years and years because he worked all 8 years, I think, for the Obama administration, and left there as the administrator of Rural Utility Service, which is a presidentially appointed position that runs the sort of the energy grid for rural America and all the electric co-ops. And he's going to sort of help us walk through what happened. What happened?
Well, and I think a lot of people are kind of waiting to hear some of that. It's hard to get people who are knowledgeable about this. And so this will be a really, really good informative little sit down that we had with him. It was great.
Yeah. So excited about that. What else going on in Texas politics? We got a congressional race where they have not set the date yet for the election, correct?
So before we talk about the winter storm too much, we'll talk about that. Texas Congressman Ron Wright passed away. You may know him from all of his tweets about how we need to open schools back up because coronavirus is fake. He tweeted those from his hospital bed because he had coronavirus and ended up dying from it. So that seat is now open. It will be the first special election of the Biden administration in a district that Donald Trump only won by 3 points. So it's definitely an interesting little race going on there. So far, the only Democrat that we have seen that has publicly announced is Janice Lynn Sanchez. She's been on our show before, and she was a Democratic nominee in 2018. But rumor mill says there are a couple of other Democrats that may jump in that race.
All right. Yeah, so Janice already announced, correct?
Janice has announced. I don't think the others have. I'm sure it's going to be a Republican clusterfuck to figure out who the Republican's going to be. I mean, it'll just be...
So any name surfacing?
Yeah, I don't really know any of them because I don't follow it so closely. The guy that ran against Ron White in the first place, who's a state rep down in Temple, or somewhere close to, like, maybe Waxahachie, I don't know, somewhere. The district is, like, South Fort Worth, Arlington, and it stretches down kind of the 35 corridor, goes to like Waxahachie. So it's kind of like a half rural, half urban district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I forgot that it's only 3 points. Wow. That must be why I've gotten all these texts saying that's going to be like a John Ossoff 2016 race. And I'm like, what? No, it's not. And then I'm like, oh, maybe. I mean, I'm all for it, but I didn't realize. What about Steve Daniels? Didn't he run in that last time?
He tweeted that he's still thinking about it.
Okay, all right.
So, and rumor mill says a couple people. I'm always worried to mention some people because I worry that I only found out because they were talking to me. Like, I don't want to throw a bunch of announce for anybody. So there's just some other people that are talking about it. So we'll see. We love Jana. We love all the other Democrats.
Love them all. Love them.
Yeah, so it'll be a really interesting race to watch. I don't know. I mean, in a special, Democrats usually underperform specials, but if we got our shit together, we could win that seat.
That would be awesome. Huh?
Are you going to run?
No, I'm not running.
You don't have to live in the district.
I know. I'm good. Thank you, though. But thank you. That's not how I want to.
You already have the logo.
I do have a logo. I'm good. Thank you. Being in Congress right now is a beating for all
of us. Both physically and emotionally.
Right. And I'm saying, I just admire anybody who's running. I got a certain amount of life in me right now, and that's not where I want to be spending any of it, but I will work from the stands and help anybody I can. That's for sure.
So they've not picked a date yet. It's kind of assumed that the date may be the May 1st municipal election. The governor has to call a special. Mm-hmm. But then it's also been discussed that if that's not enough time, you may extend it out to the June 15th runoff for the municipals. So it's coming up, but.
Yeah. Wow. I do like for the candidates that are willing to take the beating, that's a very short runway, so the beating will only last so long. So that part. And we're still in the middle of a pandemic. And how do you win a race in the middle of a pandemic? I don't think we've all quite figured out. I know we're not going to do what we did last time. We got to do something different.
I think the good Lord found a way to ensure that Texans quarantined to wrap this coronavirus
thing up too. I've been saying the same thing, and you're not really a religious person, but I have been saying, I just texted that to one of our mutual friends. I was like, oh man, these will keep the numbers down. And then she texted me back, what about the warming centers? And I'm like, damn it. Yes, that's true. But they're wearing their mask at the warming centers, and the spreaders are not the warming center people, I don't think. I have a profile of a spreader. It's not, I mean, I understand science. It's not that. I just think there's this like this personality of a spreader, and that person is not going to go into one of those. That person is somebody else because there's these super spreaders. I am convinced our numbers are going to go way down, and the universe, the Lord, Allah, whoever, they are all helping us with our problem, since we don't have any leadership in Texas other than our...
Well, the Lord has a really funny way of helping, doesn't he, Lily?
He really does.
12 million people without water, freezing to death in their homes, hospitals losing electricity so that vials of the corona vaccine are getting destroyed. One hospital in Houston lost 8,000 coronavirus vaccinations. And then also another big disaster in Texas this week, J.J. Watt left the Texans. So, I mean, is the Lord really working for us right now, though?
Where's he going? You don't follow football, so you probably, that's all you know.
That's all I know.
Okay. That's so funny. One of my things that I do during this weird time, I'm on a lot of Zoom meetings and I'm working way too much, actually. But sometimes my binge watch is New Girl for reasons unknown, but I think they're... Yeah. A couple of those guys are, and her, she's great. I mean, I just think it's funny. And the season I was watching yesterday, J.J. Watt was on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he comes in as J.J. Watt. And he's really a good little actor. And I'm like, is he an actor? It was like many years ago, but he's
no, a he was also in the show The League that FX did, which is a really funny show. I don't even like football, but I loved it, but I can't ever find it anywhere. Anyways, let's talk about this whole debacle this week. I mean, this is just a lot to unpack.
Really is.
Where would you like to start, Lillian?
Well, I can't remember if it started on Saturday or Sunday that we started getting, it seems like maybe we should have been better prepared. It just seems like.
The winter storm hits. That is the coldest that Texas has been in a very long time. And when it hits, we start having a bit of an energy crisis where people are worried we're going to have to conserve energy because the energy grid was not able to handle the amount of energy that was being used. And then when that was being done, Greg Abbott, the governor of Texas, went missing. No one heard from him for days.
That's unforgivable, really.
As Texans started losing power, it then became clear that our water filtration systems were losing power as well. Many places around the state started losing and depleting all water resources, and 12 million Texans are now under a boil water warning for the state. Let's start there.
Unbelievable. Understand, I don't think we ever got a reason why he was missing. The Republicans have just, you know, held their power center for so many years that like regular people don't recognize that that's what happened. Not regular people, people are smart. I don't think there's a recognition by many Texans that part of the reason we get shitty services and are so out of control, missing the ball on this one, is because of the concentration of power of leadership that's not been challenged. And that's what you get. And the legislator and the Democrats in the legislature should be like just firing it up every day. Well, and are they?
No. And we're all learning so much about the Texas electric grid that Texas is apparently on its own electric grid. A lot of people didn't know that. It's run by a private business called ERCOT, which is a C4. All of their stuff is public. We've tweeted all of their finance stuff if y'all would like to look at that. ERCOT is regulated by a PUC, Public Utility Commission. All of the members of the PUC were appointed by Gregory Abbott.
Yes.
Greg Abbott.
That's a donor job.
He received a warning that the Texas that the grid was not winterized and would not be able to withstand this, chose to allow the private company to make these decisions instead of him.
Yeah. And then the timing, I think, when they found out that it wasn't winterized, I think that was like 4 days before they announced to the public that it wasn't. I mean, planning could have really helped. Like families could have said, you know what? We're in rural Texas. I'm going to go stay with my kids in Dallas or in Houston or in San Antonio or Austin or El Paso, because I'm for sure it's going to be an epic failure where I'm in. Instead, they denied people the right of information to plan. And instead, people just got caught completely flat-footed. It's terrible. Yeah.
So as Abbott has done in every disaster that he has been a part of, whether it is Harvey, Dallas tornadoes, coronavirus, his MO is, I will just hide and hope that it goes away. And if it goes away, then awesome. And if it doesn't, then I guess I'll just have to get myself out of it with my $38 million campaign funds. And unfortunately for him, he did not get out of this one.
Yeah. So he thought it best to go ahead and fight it on Fox News and throw the left.
That's the next piece. So good point. Would you like to tell that story?
He went on Fox News, the governor, and when they asked him questions about the, you know, what are we calling this, the Texas grid complete epic failure, he blamed it on the Green New Deal in
Alexandria. 3 hours, 3 hours after he went on Spectrum News with our friend Brett Shipp, who's
got Brett.
And told Brett Shipp that it was because of natural gas. 3 hours later, went on Fox News, blamed it on windmills and the Green New Deal.
Even though everybody knows the Green New Deal has not passed. And Texas, as our guest John Padalino will be talking about, is the Texas grid receives generation by a ton of natural gas, windmills and other sources, and completely complete hypocrisy that he went and blamed that. And you know what? You're the governor. Why'd it be such a dick?
Yeah.
Why do you got to be such a dick, governor?
Well, I mean, and his dickishness doesn't stop there, right? So the Biden administration issues FEMA relief right as this starts. They see it's a problem. They jump on top of it. They don't ask what the political ramifications, they don't care. They're here to save lives. They offer blankets, diesel fuel, all the things we need to exist to help power generators. And Abbott apparently refuses to accept it because he doesn't want help from the federal government.
Bad federal government. They're going to raise your taxes if we take that. Yeah. That's just crazy.
When he starts getting criticism of it, Rick Perry comes out and defends Abbott and says, Texans would rather freeze in their homes than be reliant on the federal government.
Not this Texan.
No, that's not true, Rick.
Nope, Mr. Perry. Wow. And that was our Secretary of Energy at one time, that great thinker. Yeah.
I mean, how could they? So important to note, the regulators of energy in Texas, the oil and gas commissioners, are the Railroad Commission. And so the Railroad Commissioners, Christy Craddock, Wayne Christian, Jim Wright, are the individuals that failed to regulate utilities to a point where it got this bad. Okay? So remember those three people whenever you pull your pitchforks out.
Pitchforks is right. They make a public reckoning. I mean, and I'm sorry, how come every single one of this is just a mediocre white male over the age of 60? I'm just so fucking sick of it. Sorry.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Well, Christy Craddock isn't a male.
I'm just talking about Perry, Abbott, and Lieutenant Governor. And
so, yeah. So then Abbott decided to take action. And the way Abbott chose to take action was he added in the investigation of ERCOT in with the emergency items of the legislature, which means we will address this in a couple of weeks. Got a lot of criticism for it. Today he added two more items to the emergency agenda. One is mandating the winterization of power generators in the state of Texas. And the second is funding that. Did not specify where that funding should come from, but that has now been put on an emergency item agenda for the ledge.
ERCOT, he's blaming ERCOT. It's not just ERCOT. I mean, ERCOT's it's because of the deregulation. And so.
Back in 2011, the state of Texas was, whenever we had a winter crisis, the state of Texas was warned by energy experts, you have to winterize your grid because if this happens again, you're going to be screwed.
Yeah, I mean, like usually city governments and counties have like annual reviews, just like corporations do. Hey, does my shit work? Should I check off? Should I have an outside company make sure my stuff works? And how can the state of Texas have failed to have some kind of certainly the committee oversight in the Texas ledge should bring those usually boys, men, very bad men into a hearing room and say, how are we doing this year? But I guess we only meet every 2 years, but I mean, this shit's been going on since the 1990s.
Well, this bill was actually filed to winterize our grid and provide updates to it by Sylvester Turner, the current mayor of Houston. It did not get a committee hearing.
Right. Sylvester Turner has not been quiet about his dismay with the Texas governor. That guy's just been, he's been good. He's been good.
Okay, so we've got that out of the way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Ted Cruz situation.
And now, I thought when I saw, I'm not doing much Twitter these days, but I'm trying to follow as much as I can. I thought it was for sure an old photo. So
tell
I was
people
like,
what happened. Because people, you have to.
No, you tell them because you have followed it more closely than I have.
Late last night, someone tweeted a photo of Ted Cruz in the airport and on a plane on his way to Cancun with his family.
In the middle of all this.
In the middle of the biggest natural disaster in Texas history, where he is a United States Senator whose job is to help regulate and control the federal disaster assistance from the federal government. He went to Cancun.
I didn't even know how he got a flight out. I thought like the airlines were all down. So anyway, that was surprising to me. But that's why when I saw it, I said, oh, I'm so worried the Democrats, they got an old picture were being set up. I truly thought it wasn't, couldn't be true. It was such a lack of judgment.
It's so ridiculous. He got so much.
And it is true.
Well, and he's had a bad week because as soon as all this started happening, people were resurfacing his and Dan Crenshaw's old tweets about how California is a third world country because they have energy blackouts and they shouldn't have to do rolling blackouts and how they're so mismanaged. So he came out and just released a tweet and said, I have no excuse. My bad. And so now this is happening. So it blows up assumedly while he is asleep. And he wakes up and immediately heads to the airport and gets on the standby list to come back and releases a statement telling everyone that he intentionally was gonna, he was already gonna come back this morning. He just flew in to drop his daughters and his wife off and he was gonna fly right back.
Oh, shit on that one. I'm gonna call.
Then people who worked at the airport started releasing screenshots where his flight was scheduled to come back on Saturday and he's got put on a standby list to come back today.
You can't make this stuff up. And it made, I mean, it's in the front page of the Washington Post today. So yeah.
He was just trying to be a good dad, Lil.
Good dad. Yeah. I love it. Hide behind that. Terrible constituent services. How could anyone in his, I mean, I'm not blaming his staff, but how could anyone have thought to let him on that plane? If I was his chief of staff or a senior, but I would air hug him and throw him to the ground. You do not let a United States senator on a plane leaving their place in the middle of a crisis. That's like politics 101, for Christ's sake.
I mean, what
a dumbass.
What does he think his goddamn job is? I mean, Ted, you regulate the federal funds, but also go help some families. Meanwhile, yeah. Beto O'Rourke called 300,000 senior citizens and Texans to check on them, give them information on resources if they needed help.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of t-shirt or terrible statement could we have on Ted Cruz? There should be an opportunity for some serious merch opportunities.
I don't even like the people that are trying to defend him. It is hilarious. Like they're just doubling down like they always do. The guy needed a vacation.
Really?
He just planned an insurrection. He deserves a vacation.
You do a task, you get to go on vacation. Even if
you ever tried to
overthrow your government.
You ever tried to plan an insurrection? It's exhausting.
So tired. Oh my gosh. Abby, you can't make it up. Embarrassing Texas and Texans once again. And he should be out in a four-wheel drive vehicle and he should be like delivering water to people. That's what you do. That's what the politics, that's what you do.
Well, okay. So in all seriousness, if you're listening to this podcast on a phone that you are lucky enough to have gotten charged and you're looking for resources, there are elected officials that are doing a really good job of making sure you have access to those. County Judge Clay Jenkins is one of them. Mayor awesome. Sylvester Turner, County Judge Lena Hidalgo, Steve Adler in Travis right. County, people like Julie Johnson, Ana Maria Ramos. There are a lot of really good elected officials giving a lot of information on how you can find warming centers, find access to food. And so that is there. If you need help finding some of that, reach out to us and we will do our best to point you in the direction that can help.
Yeah, and some people from out of state have reached out to me and I haven't, it just said, where should we send money? And I've been negligent on knowing where that is. I think Beto has a bunch of resources, but I need to do that.
There are a lot of nonprofits that you can send money. You know where you can also send money? Where this episode was brought to you by Represent Texas.
Well, that's about elections.
I mean, is that a bad plug?
Yeah, it's a terrible plug, because if we had better outcomes in our elections, I can tell you the response to this crisis would have been different.
Today's episode was brought to you by Represent Texas. Represent Texas is recruiting qualified candidates everywhere in Texas to make sure that they are not ceding large swaths of rural Texas to Republicans. Represent Texas is the front of the fight, recruiting candidates in municipal races around the state for the May 1st election, as well as fighting and leading the charge to defeat Dan Patrick, Greg Abbott, and Ken Paxton in 2022. Go to RepresentTexasPAC.org to learn more and to contribute to their cause to beat these motherfuckers.
Yay!
Anyways, there's lots of really good places that are providing resources. I'm just devastated for people. I have to laugh about it and share memes, because if I don't, I get really upset about it.
No, but when you see someone, small kids and a grandmother passed away in a car trying to keep warm, you hear about people's oxygen tanks that passed away. I mean, these are not statistics. These are families and Texans and people that relied on us and we failed them.
That are frozen in their homes. They literally, they cannot get into their vehicles because they are snowed in and the roads are not being treated because they have shitty public officials that are not treating their roadways. So they're stuck in their homes where they were not warned when they had the opportunity to give them 4 days notice. They have no food. They now have no water. They have no electricity. They are freezing to death in their homes because Republicans were derelict in their duty to protect them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I'm physically just, I can't even handle it. I'm the news and I'm not doing anything and I feel terrible. There's nothing other than money, which I'm doing, but I can't. I mean, people are suffering. And then people from my our neighbor state, Oklahoma, that I spend some time out there, they got water, they got electric. I mean, they're run by Republicans, but something's different. I think there's this idea that Texas is better than we are. And that's our problem. We promote the fact that we're the greatest place in the world to bring business, we have all these jobs, these growth. Yeah, no, it's not okay. You can't do that and then have these kind of tragedies. You don't get to have it both ways. Fucking invest in your infrastructure.
When Democrats ran this state, we had the best schools in the country, if not the world. We had transportation and roadways that were the envy of the rest of the world. Our hospitals were never top of the world, but they were at least middle of the pack. You know, like we had, Texas was set up for this business success that Republicans are claiming all of this credit for. And in 25 years, Republicans have turned us into a third world country, a failed state that doesn't even have water or electricity.
Yeah, it's shameful. They need to take a bow. Some of them can stay, but we need to get rid of the leadership. Let us have a shot at it. We can do better.
Well, I want to shoot shit with you about your fun, what you've been doing and how your power situation's been and how mine has been, but we don't have time. We need to talk to John Palomino. So you and I are going to do...
Palomino. Palomino's a horse. He's a Mexican. He's a Mexican from Houston, not a horse.
It sounds very Italian, all you Italians.
He's half Italian also, actually.
You and I are going to record a little segment about our energy situations for the Patreon. So if you want to hear that, go to the Patreon. We did a fun one last week too. So become a patron. We'll do that. But stick around. next segment, we are going to be sitting down with John Padolino, the Director of Rural Utility Services in the Obama administration. He's going to break down this crisis for
administrator.
Us.
Administrator. He was in charge. Top dog.
So stick around.
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. We're so very excited. We have a special guest today that's going to tell us, is the energy grid here in Texas, is it good, bad, or indifferent, as millions of people still don't have power or water?
We already know the answer to that, Lillian. I hope he tells us more than that.
Well, and he's going to explain. He's a very, very qualified individual and also good friend that I served with in the Obama administration. He was a presidentially appointed administrator for the entire rural utility services and was in charge of making sure the rural folks in this country had access to electric and broadband and all kinds of stuff, and currently serves and is based in Austin and is a great Texan. He's currently the chief administrative officer for Bandera Electric Cooperative, and our good friend John Padolino's here.
Well, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me, y'all.
So, Texas's power grid. Can we talk about how much sense does it make to you that Texas is on its own grid?
Well, that's a loaded question. You know, I mean, I don't know that that's really the question that we should be thinking about. It's really, how do we ensure that the grid is going to be reliable at all times? And, you know, ERCOT, rightly or wrongly so, has taken a lot of heat this week. But, you know, what I've been talking about with people is that ERCOT itself is really just the air traffic controller. Right. You know, electricity is, it's a wavelength. Mm-hmm. And they're just managing that wavelength, its frequency. And basically, electricity runs at 60 hertz. And they really monitor the grid to say, is it at 59.5? Is it at 60.5? They're really trying to keep it right at 60 hertz. And the way they do that is to make sure there's enough generation on the grid. So if the frequency drops, that means we need more generation to pick it up. And they try to make a call out, say, hey, put more electricity on the grid. But if the generators don't want to, they don't have any enforcement mechanism. And so—
Can we stop you there, John? Does that mean that this is, you know, those of us who would like the Republicans to wear this with their pride, as they have been in charge of the state for over 30 years. Is this go back before then? And then the other question, is this a market problem where we haven't incentivized the generators, generation providers to make enough because we're all about free market here in Texas?
I mean, that's it. That's, it's, you know, when the generators make money, in Texas is when it's hotter than you know what, June, July, August, and September. That's when ERCOT, that's when, you know, all the electrical providers really set, you know, how they run the system. It's based on the coincidental peaks, the peak period in June, July, August, and September. And the generators have everything available because that's when they can make a lot of money. You know, we use over 70,000 megawatts of power on a given day in August, let's say. And just for comparison, Sunday night, I think we're about close to 70,000 megawatts. So we have the generation available, but what the generators did, like a good golfer, you know, they're ready to go in August, but they kind of put the clubs away in February. And those, and most of the generation is natural gas plants. That's the bulk, that's the major, the, that's the bulk of the power that's available on the ERCOT Texas grid. You know, when we say Texas grid, it's the ERCOT grid, it's kind of interchangeable how we speak about it, but it's mostly natural gas. And so—
Wait a second. Are you telling me that it's not frozen windmills?
Well, there were frozen windmills. They were down on production. They're always down in production in February because it's always cold in February. Not as cold as this week. But you know, the whole solution to when the grid peaks has always been for the last, since our days in the Obama administration. You know, President Obama was criticized for the you know, all of the above energy plan and that plan, you know, he caught a lot of flack from the left because it was very reliant on natural gas because, you know, during the peak periods, it's really easy. Anybody who has a gas fireplace, it takes 2 seconds to light the gas fireplace. That's a natural gas, you know, electric generation facility. Unless you don't winterize it, you don't have gas supply available. If you don't do those things, then you can't light it up right away. Right. So when we hit a peak Sunday night, they weren't available. We've been at a peak ever since. They've not been available. And it's because they put the golf clubs away and didn't want to come out and play.
So you attribute ERCOT to be kind of air traffic controllers. So that's who do you point the finger at, if you have to point the finger at someone, as to why we were not prepared for this situation?
Well, you have to look at who regulates natural gas, who regulates generation. It's really not ERCOT. I mean, I think you have a mix between the Railroad Commission and the Utility Commission. Right. And, you know, who passed deregulation in the late 90s? That was the legislature. And, you know, it's a mix of government. You know, I mean, this is really just the way we govern nowadays. We think that the private for-profit corporations are going to, you know, through the market somehow magically always take care of us when it's 5 degrees in Austin, Texas. I had 6 inches of snow on the ground Monday morning. I mean, it's never done that here. I don't think it's ever had 6 inches of snow in Austin. Crazy. And the magical thinking is that for-profit corporations are going to come in, you know, in these extreme times and save us. Save us during Harvey, and they didn't save us this week. But we made that decision. You know, Texas voters who put the folks in place, who passed the laws that really created the system. It's, you know, and this problem this week, we've seen it, you know, it's an epidemic, right? It's like, this is what happens. We saw it with COVID when we don't, like Obama had a pandemic preparedness plan, a PPP, right. But because we threw that PPP out, we got the Paycheck Protection Plan. And and now, you know, as government, you know, and I work for an electric co-op, we're privately owned, our members own us, we're nonprofit. But you know, in a way, we're an essential public service. You know, we provide electric at the distribution level. But we saw water systems with their not have generators. You know, why don't they have generators? They're not charging the proper rates because people don't want to pay it, because we say taxes are bad. You don't pay the water bill. You know, it's on some way we think it's a free ride to have highways, to have water systems, to have hospitals that have generators that can last, you know, when there's not electricity. And it requires us to contribute to the common good to have these, you know, types of facilities, especially in a week like this week.
And so
it's a legislative problem in a sense, because we've gotten rid of regulation, but if the regulators came back in, or if we had some leadership in the state that forced people to the table, is it something where they still, is there some kind of a bailout that has to happen in order to get them to compete? Are they saying it's too expensive? I put my golf clubs up until through February because it's too expensive to do this all year long, and so we need to give them some incentives? Or is it more just like, bottom line, I just don't want to pay for that because this is just once in a blue moon?
I mean, I don't know what they would say, but I would guess that it's really that they don't want to spend it, you know. I think that's what we see over and over again, is that we just don't want to invest in the things that we need to invest in so that we can, you know, operate 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and planning for the worst and hoping for the best. But ultimately, it comes down to leadership. And right. we just haven't had leadership for, you know, I'm 47 years, I guess, as far as I know.
Leadership. And so in leadership, in your mind, what would that look like on this subject? You're an energy guy. You live this stuff. You worked at the highest level of government on this stuff. What could you do on this that could get us at least some responsible track to be laid so that we can start functioning as a, you know, not a third world country?
Yeah, I think the specific thing in this instance is to require anyone who wants to sell generation, because essentially, you know, ERCOT is managing all this electricity. And if they want to sell that electricity on the grid, require them to comply with, you know, requirements to have their facilities able to fire up at any time. That'll be different. It's harder to start a nuclear plant versus a coal plant. But that natural gas, that's what it's for. It's for peaking. And if they want to, you know, so you could target those folks. But, you know, remember, this is natural gas in Texas we're talking about. Who runs the state?
Natural gas in Texas.
I mean, I don't know that it will change, but that's what you need to do. And it takes leadership to do that. It takes someone with a spine to stand up to those people and say, hey, make all the money you want. You know, and ERCOT is capped. They can't charge more than $9,000 per megawatt. On an average day, people are paying about $30 per megawatt, but they can go up to $9,000. That's right, crazy.
That is bonkers.
Yeah, but you know, you'll see like some of the more publicly owned generators out there had their facilities ready to go and have been supplying electricity all along. It's, you know, really the more for-profit folks, I think, is what we're going to find. I mean, I'm more at the retail level, the distribution side of it. But I think when we really look at it, you know, we look at it objectively, that we'll see that they just weren't prepared. And if we made them be prepared, you know, you can play in the market, but you have to be prepared to play on any day.
When you, I mean, you were probably one of only 30 people in Texas who knew when they woke up, oh, Texas is on its own grid. I mean, there's just not like, people don't live in this world how different Texas is. You knew about it. Had Texas not been on its own grid, would we have been able to borrow from our sister states and been able to let some of their power come here and been able to, I mean, there's 3.5 million people without power today.
Yeah, so, you know, the grid across the North America, not even just the United States, it's made up of all these little regional, they're called regional transmission organizations, RTOs, and ERCOT is an RTO. And if you look at the map over Kendall's shoulder, the ERCOT grid doesn't cover the entire state. It's really like the heart of Texas, if you think of it, like kind of right there in the center part, going all the way down. But like El Paso is not on the ERCOT grid. The Panhandle is not on the ERCOT grid. Even East Texas, you know, kind of just east of Houston is not on the ERCOT grid. And going all the way up to Oklahoma. So you squeeze that in, that's ERCOT. So on the eastern side, that's the Midwest Independent, it's MISO. Sir, I forgot what that stands for. There's MISO, then the Southwest Power Pool is the Panhandle part. And then on the western side, it's called the Rocky Mountain Interconnect. And then we're also tied into Mexico, right just north of Del Rio. And so we're tied into other parts of the American, North American grid, and we buy power from those parts, but they also had that the same storm hit them. And so everybody had problems.
Well, being tied into Mexico was an important piece of the 2011 crisis, right? Because didn't Mexico bail Texas out whenever we were having our cold weather situations, you know, 10 years ago?
It happened this week. I mean, the days are blurred together, but I think it was Tuesday morning. If you look at the map on ERCOT, you know, they code it in colors by what you're paying in a certain part of the state for electricity. Red was $9,000 per megawatt, you know, green was like back to $30 per megawatt. Right there north of Del Rio, it was just a little bit of green and yellow. And even the wind came on by like Tuesday morning, and the Panhandle was kind of in those green and green, blue, yellow colors. So yeah, I mean, even this year, we got a little bit of electricity from Mexico for a time.
What do you think that this is going to do to Texans' electric bills? You know, they're going to be receiving those, I guess, in 30 days or so from now. should people be freaking out about it? Do you think that they're going to actually do those types of major increases?
I mean, that's a complicated question. And I mean, it's, you know, in some ways we got to do a little Texas Electricity 101, because we have three different kinds of electricity providers in Texas. We have investor-owned utilities, we have municipal-owned utilities, and then we have cooperatives. Cooperatives like Bandera Electric, we have a fixed wholesale contract. Our power provider is the Lower Colorado River Authority. The rates our members pay this month are the same rates they're going to pay next month and the month they paid last month. And so just, you know, if they used a lot of electricity, that will, you know, make their bill go up, but the rate itself is the same. Over in the investor-owned side, and that's a lot of Houston and Dallas, you know, really the big cities.
That's like New Mexico Power and those kind of big.
Oncor, you know, those kind of Center Point Energy down in Houston. And those people are really the pole and wires company. And then the consumers, they have contracts with retail electric providers, which are really just middlemen that were set up after deregulation, so that they can make a little cut on the whole deal. And
little cut, a lot of people, a lot of money.
I mean, yeah, you know, and so people demand choice. That's what it came from. We need electric choice. And now they can choose, you know, you can go on probably the public utility website and see 100 different retail electric providers. Some of those providers had like a variable rate. You know, if we pay a lot, you pay a lot. If we pay a little, you pay a little. Don't worry, because most of the time we don't pay much until a week. And so those people that are on those kinds of plans in Houston and Dallas that are on investor-owned utilities, they might pay through the nose.
Wow. Awesome. John, on the, I mean, without going into all the politics, because you do politics, but it's not everything you do. You actually have a full-time.
I try to transcend politics.
Transcend. I know you do a lot of meditation and very often like, but on the Governor Abbott, it's sort of attacking.
There's a lot of recovery required after Obama.
Yes, I know. I'm still in it too, but
you live in DC too long and it takes the rest of your life to recover.
I know, I'm still in my recovery, thank you. So on the Greg Abbott sort of taking on the Green New Deal on Fox News this week, and right after this happened, it seemed inappropriate to me. I keep thinking, who would have thought that was a good idea? Does the Green New Deal have anything to do with this happening in Texas that we couldn't provide? Right? I mean,
thanks to our great Congress and all the wisdom and strength of leadership that they have there. You know, I mean, Ted Cruz was in Cancun this week. So the Green New Deal has not ever passed anything. It's, you know, it's a piece of paper right now that people read. It's not the law. There's been a lot of investment in green energy. I think on the ERCOT grid, maybe 15, maybe close to 20% comes from renewable energy. Most of that's wind. About 2% solar. Solar overproduced this week by about 1,000 megawatts. Wind underproduced because of those frozen turbines. They freeze the panhandle's cold. I think anybody in Lubbock would tell you that, right? Amarillo, like, you all have been there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, Calgary, Canada's really cold too. And when they were at -50, their wind turbines didn't freeze up because they winterized them.
They winterized, right? Yeah, you know, it's amazing. Like working at USDA and getting to travel all over the country and see how they do things in Alaska and Minnesota and Iowa. It's like, wow, you guys, I mean, you kind of take things serious. And you would think we would do that down here, but it's... this is the reason pipes are freezing in houses is we cut corners in Texas.
Right. But I mean, with all the development, certainly, you know, Kendall and I are in North Texas. I'm obviously in Austin, nothing but development. But at any level, were any municipalities, counties, state level folks saying you can't keep building out like this without some kind of a check-in about utilities? I mean, it just seems like that would be like already built into the system.
Why would we do that here, Lillian? I mean, you know, the builders have like I think they have a key to the governor's mansion. I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they do.
No, they do.
I've seen the finance reports. They do.
Yeah,
and, you're right. I think Abbott went down to the hardware store and made an extra key for them.
Yeah, I growth, you know, but this is not responsible growth when you have people living in their cars right now. And I mean,
but remember in the summer,
yeah,
I mean, like what we went through Sunday night was not anything worse than 108 degree day in August. It's just that it wasn't available, you know. So we have the generation. I mean, back to the Green New Deal, how does it not make sense to build more generation?
Right.
I mean, okay, throw a couple more dollars at each windmill and make sure it's winterized, you know.
Well, John, I know that you're probably in high demand right now, and we just really appreciate you taking time out to come on our little show, Pod Bless Texas. John Padalino, the former director of Rural Utility Services in the Obama administration, thanks so much for joining us. But you don't get to leave yet, John, because before you leave, you have to play everyone's favorite segment. It's called Obsess! Obsessed, where each of us will talk about one news story for the week, whether it was politics or wasn't, that we'd be completely obsessed with. And as always, we start this segment with Lillian Salerno. Lillian, what's something this week you've been completely obsessed with?
Well, other than just trying to call out to people that are, you know, without water, I'm feeling guilty because my bougie high-rise in North Texas has had, we lost water for a little bit, but we've had electric. I just feel bad because all my friends in rural Texas, they haven't got any water, any utilities. This is in North Texas, John. I can't speak for your electric co-op. I'm sure they have everything they need. But I've been obsessed with that. But the real obsessed is what leadership looks like. I really applaud, again, you know, Beto is somebody I have a lot of respect for. I'm not a Betoite where I talk about him every day. But I mean, that's what leadership is. Calling 300,000 people last night, and old people off of his old list, elderly that are at home, and just making contact. That's what you do. That's what leadership is. That's what why aren't the Republicans doing that? And I'm obsessed with, we have to change the way we see people in this state. And he sees people, and that's why he has this following. And that's why he had so many people willing to make calls for him last night, because he leads by example. And that brings us to the Ted Cruz, you know, who doesn't lead by example. So that's my obsession.
He literally blamed his daughters for why he had to go to Ted Cruz.
Yeah. When in doubt, blame your teenage daughters.
That's a great obsess, Lillian. You know, I've had a couple of people reach out to me that are like in middle of nowhere, like East Texas parts of my district, like Ben Wheeler. And they're like, hey, we've been stranded here 80 hours without power. What do we do? And there's no community resources. You can't go to the city. You can't go to the newspaper and figure out where anything's at. I mean, they're just screwed.
Right, right. No, I mean, and hungry and, you know, without water. I mean, it's tragic. I mean, in some ways, if Texas had seceded, we would need UN intervention.
Yeah.
At this point. But thank God Joe Biden doesn't hold it against us how terrible we've been to him and his administration already. And went ahead and declared it a declaration.
I think 47% of us voted for him, you know. Yeah, that's
true. Second largest Democratic Party in the country.
You know, let's not forget that, you know, we just need a few more.
Just a few more. Well, maybe some of those in rural that don't have any water will help us get to the finish line, because that's certainly a place we need some work. So that was my obsess.
Good obsess, Lillian. Great obsess. John Padalino, what's something this week you've been completely obsessed with?
Yeah, I try not to give in to obsessive thinking anymore. I spend a lot of time meditating and trying to be right with right with God. But I mean, I think I've been spending all week thinking about the members of Bandera Electric Co-op, which probably dovetails with Lillian's obsessed. And, you know, we're a member-owned electric co-op, and the people that we serve electricity to, they own us. And they've been going through some tough times. You know, Bandera Electric serves 7 counties just northwest of San Antonio. Lillian's right. They've been out of water. They've been out of power. It's really been tough for them. It's tough for everyone. And And so I wake up, I've been spending 20-hour days just trying to assist where I can. You know, I'm the lawyer for the co-op, so I don't get to go out and climb the poles. But we're trying to get the message out and make sure everybody knows what's going on. You know, our theory is over-communicate and under-promise and over-deliver and make sure that people are getting the facts. We're being transparent, we're being honest. And if we live by our values, you know, that's, we know we're doing the right thing every day.
Yeah, that's a great obsessed. What a rough week for Texas.
Really is. Thank you, John.
What a rough week.
My obsessed this week is a part of Texas that we rarely talk about here on Pod Bless Texas, and we should probably fix that. Maybe a trip is in order sometime whenever all of this is done. But my obsessed this week is news that came out of South Padre Island this week, where temperatures dropped so low that rare endangered sea turtles were losing their ability to function. They were getting paralyzed. And a bunch of citizens got out in the water on the beaches and rescued hundreds of these sea turtles before they froze to death. And they all brought them into the community center, the big convention center that they have in South Padre Island. And currently, the convention center of South Padre Island filled with hundreds of massive sea turtles that are a warming center so that they don't die and they can release them back into the ocean. I've been completely obsessed with it because, to me, you know, we haven't really talked about climate change as much as we probably should on this episode, but I mean, the humankind's impact on the planet is just so astronomical that there are so many casualties to that that have nothing to do with it. And sea turtles are just one of those. Like, I understand that there are people suffering and we absolutely should help them and prioritize that. But I mean, there's a reality that there's this whole ecosystem that we're just destroying, decimating. When has there ever been a situation where a bunch of sea turtles are freezing at South Padre Island? And I've just been completely obsessed with the way that that community rallied around that and understood how endangered they are. They could literally go extinct if we didn't go and save them. And they went and they did it. And I've been completely obsessed with it.
Yeah. Well, sadly, this is the same planet where the mangrove is disappearing in Indonesia and the jungles disappearing in Brazil. And it's all for the same reason.
Yeah. We are the worst thing to happen to this planet.
We're a bad species, man.
That's what I've been completely obsessed with this week.
And we know better. That's what's happening.
And that was obsessed. All right. Well, thank you so much, John, for coming and joining us. Let's talk a little bit about how people can follow you and Bandera Electric and whatever projects you've been working on these days.
Well, you can find out everything you want about Bandera Electric at www.banderaelectric.com. Check us out. We're providing fiber to the home to all our members, or we're on the way to hit all our members. And we also run a renewable energy company there. So that's mostly what I spend my time on, solar storage, building a whole new electric meter energy management system. We're on Facebook, Twitter, all the social media channels.
Wow.
Are you Texas's version of Elon Musk, John? Is that what's going on over there?
We're trying. We think we're better than Elon, though.
Oh, good, good. I love that. Well, good. I'm glad we have our own.
Well, good. Well, folks should go and follow them. They're doing some fantastic work. Lillian, where can people go to follow you if they would like to continue doing?
I'm on the Twitter machine at Lillian LILLIAN _. Oh, that's social media or through Pop Plus Text.
You haven't been tweeting much, Lillian. We haven't seen
you. You know, I'm just not so funny right now. I want to be, but anyway, yeah, I'll get back at it. I've just been having a couple of big weeks with my other projects. So
if folks wanted to follow me, they can follow me on all of the social medias at Kendall Scudder. You can also follow our podcast at Pod Bless Texas on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Definitely go give us 5-star ratings in the store and go subscribe to us on YouTube. We need to build that sucker up a little bit and we'd certainly appreciate it. You can become a patron at the Patreon. You can buy merch at Threadless. There's all kinds of good stuff. Check us out at Pod Bless Texas.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Please be safe out there and have a blessed week.
See y'all soon.